I didn't grab anything out of the room, didn't take anything from the locker room. Nothing.
Didn't get
nothing.
A ball?
Didn't get a ball.
You wish you would have?
Nah, not really. Not really. You know, you get so much, some of the, like the hats and t-shirts and all that kind of, I mean, a ball probably would have been nice, but I did get that helmet that they, you know, that Super Bowl 52 helmet. I have that.
You wear it much?
Yeah. And then I'm gonna look into, you know, maybe getting a replica trophy or something at the house and do something like that.
The ring will be
a souvenir enough. Yeah.
What's it been like walking around this week being the Super Bowl winning coach?
You know, it's something that is a little bit surreal. You know, you're walking amongst all your peers and you know, you got all the owners and GMs and head coaches here and presidents and everybody. And you know, when you're outside of NovaCare, outside the building, that's when it makes it real special. You know, what you've accomplished and how hard it is to get there and to win that football game. And I appreciate everything, you know, that got us there, obviously, and then to be here and to be congratulated. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How do you keep the chemistry? I mean, that was obviously phenomenal last year.
I don't know if you keep it as much as you kind of rebuild it again. You know, our team will be different. You know, it's just the nature. There's you can already see with the moves that were made this spring with, you know, during free agency, and I think by maintaining, you know, some of your core players in the locker room helps that, but I think you have to start kind of from ground zero again, you know, in April and start talking about everything again. You just kind of flush the system and you know, kind of retool it. So we have and really do have a good locker room. And so, you know, that's going to be part of it this spring.
It was different when you won the Super Bowl. It was different then because now with the turnover, with, you know, money and everything.
Yeah, you're not going to keep. You can't keep your guys. It's just the way free agency is today, and there's a lot more money involved in the league, and that's why it's, you know, change is good. You know, we've talked about that in the past. Change is good, and you know, we just gotta we're kind of regrouping a little bit and trying to make another push.
Hey Doug, you said the other day that Parker's ahead of schedule. What's the schedule for him? What's next for him? And in terms of the offseason program, what's that?
You know, very encouraged where he's at, the direction he's headed. You know, it's day by day. You know, I'm not rushing him by no means. You know, he's working extremely hard, obviously, you know, trying to get himself ready to go, but really no timetable. I'm not gonna push him out there when he's not ready, you know, much like we did with Sydney. You know, I don't want to rush him back. I want to make sure he's 100%, but just knowing Carson, he's going to try to maybe get out there sooner, you know, sooner than later, but be smart with it, make good decisions, but right now, really encouraged, you know, in the direction he's headed.
Were you going to be able to do any individual work during the spring?
You know, I don't, you know, probably not in the spring, just because it's too soon. So I wouldn't expect any of that type of work in the spring.
Well, you're not allowed to talk to Michael Bennett now, are you? I mean, if you wanted to talk, let's say you wanted to talk.
No, I can't. We're in a dark period. We're in that dark period. You know, we only talked to him when he came into the building, so that was the only time.
What'd you learn about Carson during the end of the season, the playoff run, what he was doing behind the scenes that maybe you didn't know before?
Such a team player, you know. I mean, he became a great teammate to Nick, obviously, in helping him in preparation, just like Nick did with him. The roles reversed, obviously, at the end of the season. And he became probably Nick's biggest fan, you know, down the stretch, and that was great to see him in the mix, in the room, you know, right there on the field when he could get out there. Everything that you wanted to see, we saw, you know, in Carson from a from a leadership standpoint, you know, down the stretch?
You said Carson kind of wants to maybe get out there as quickly as possible. Do you have to kind of guard him from himself and make sure he doesn't push it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that and the medical team, you know, I'm gonna trust those guys to make the right decision. But you guys know Carson. You know his demeanor. You know his mentality. He's aggressive, and he's gonna wanna push the envelope a little bit. But we're gonna again be smart with it. I like where he's at, but again, not gonna push him. Gonna hold him back and make sure he's 100%.
So Foles will take all the first team reps in the spring, and then Nate will be the second team guy. And
yeah, I mean it'll be much like the end of the season. You know, Nick will come in, and this will be big for Nate. I mean, it'll be a great opportunity for Nate to get a lot of reps this spring. And I'm encouraged about that, to work with him and get him a ton of reps, get him kind of caught up in the offense, and then also get Nick some time.
Obviously, there was a lot of talk about Foles possibly being traded. As the coach, are you kind of happy to still have him? As that,
I'm excited to have him. I'm ecstatic. I mean, anytime you don't have to disrupt that room and keep that room together, it's a lot like my days in Green Bay. I mean, it was Favre and myself, and we always figured out who the third was going to be, but right now, I mean, we got Nate, so you know, it's a great room, great dynamic. I'm excited that you know, we still have all three guys, and yeah, it's still a very good room.
As a follow-up to that, with all due respect, obviously to your career, Nick is coming off the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I won the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, so is he going to be okay going back to being a backup quarterback?
I think so. I mean that's obviously probably a Nick question. But I just kind of know Nick and his mentality, and I think he's fine with that. You know, I think he's fine. He understands it's Carson's team. He knew that last year, you know. But he did embrace his role, obviously, and did it superbly. But moving forward, I think he's going to be okay.
What kind of role do you see for Mike Carson? Do you see him as kind of like a speed guy that Torrey was?
Yeah, no, I see him very similar to that. You know, he's an excellent slant runner. He's got speed to burn. You know, the biggest thing now is just getting him in here and getting him caught up in the offense. But very similar role that Torrey had. I see Mike kind of filling that same spot.
You see Matt Collins taking a step forward this year in terms of his.
I do. I really see him. You know, he's one of the young players that I'm encouraged to really watch this spring, his development, you know, and you know, it'll be a big off season for him. Obviously, his role on special teams will still increase, but as a receiver, it really gives us four guys right now. You know, if you had to go, which we did, I mean, at the end of the season, you had four or five guys that you could go play with, and that's great for any offense, but. Yeah, Max got a big spring ahead for him. I'm looking forward to it.
It's early, but you know, three tight ends were a big part of your offense.
Right.
Celica's gone, Burton's gone. Have you started even thinking about, you know, okay, what is the offense going to look different with just, you know, Zach and maybe another, you know, another guy? Or do you feel like you're okay? I mean, are you okay with just, you know, Zach and another guy?
You're not okay, you know. We're always going to look to bring, you know, guys in to compete. That's always the case. You know, we got the draft coming up. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Who knows? There might be another free agent out there that we might target. But at some point, I want to get. And we got the guys. I mean, you know, Billy Brown, practice squad player. You know, we got Adam back. I mean, we got some guys now. Young guys that we can kind of get caught up and really get going this spring, second year for a couple of those players, and you know, it's a good tight end draft. I mean, there's some good players in the draft this year, so we'll see where it ends up. But I'm comfortable if we can get three guys eventually going into the season. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I would like.
Are you counting on
Nick or Nate?
You know, what was that for the Super Bowl? He felt for everything.
So
Yeah,
you know, I tell you, Nate's one of those guys. I mean, he's a hard worker. You saw what he did in the Dallas game and the stats he put up in the game he had. I mean, it was unfortunate we didn't score, but that's encouraging, you know. And then he just got better. I know you didn't get a chance to watch him in practice, but the things we saw in practice really gave us a lot of confidence as a staff to, if he needed to go in, he could go in and sustain the role. And that's why this offseason, you know, is going to be big for him. Get him caught up in the offense and feel real comfortable with him. And again, having three guys is a blessing, especially this early in the offseason program.
Doug, what's it been like for you and for everybody to turn the page and kind of get caught up on the time that you missed during the Super Bowl?
It's hard. It's hard to – the page is probably, like, almost turned, you know. But we know that we still have a job to do, and we got to get ready for 2018. You know, I'm going to tell you, my mentality when we were a week removed from the Super Bowl was let's get it as soon as we can. Let's get it behind us, and let's move on to 2018. I mean, that I was so ready to move on. You know, long season, great accomplishment. However, let the players and, you know, try to enjoy it as much as you can, but. You know, we got to focus on the future and what's coming down the pipeline, and it's coming extremely fast. You know, we're a couple weeks from OTAs and, you know, from the off-season program, and, you know, there's still a lot of work to do, you know, in the office. So we're flipping the page as fast as we can, but at the same time, you know, it's nice to kind of take some time and reflect on what just happened.
Year two of being a head coach, where do you, on a day-to-day basis, where do you think you grew the most as a head coach?
Last year?
Yeah.
You know, I just think just leading the team through some of the adversity, you know, it kind of goes back to that year one, you know, holding those guys together a little bit when things could have unraveled. Guys are believing in me, I think gives me a lot of confidence, you know, knowing that you got the team right there where you want them, and they'll do anything for you. I think that's part of, you know, being a good leader, understanding that, and feel real comfortable there. And so those are, I think for me, that's probably the most proud, you know, as a coach, to be able to lose the type of players we lost, especially your starting quarterback, and still be able to kind of hold everything together, get your backup quarterback ready to play, and ultimately win a championship.
When did you know they believed in you? When did you know that leadership was kind of taking the next step, and that you didn't have to worry about still getting them on board, convincing them?
You know, I think it was a process throughout the entire season, but each week that, you know, we won a game, I tried to keep the focus on just the next game and not get any bigger than that, not you know, read the hype positive or negatively, and just stay in the moment, you know, stay on task this week. And that grew every single week, and they believed in that. And, you know, you heard guys talk about it after games where, you know, we'd win a game and it was great, but, hey, let's stay grounded, let's stay focused, and all the things that I sort of talked to the team about. And then, you know, when I took the pads off at the end of the year and kind of slowed the tempo of practice down a little bit, and then that bye week going into the postseason, they came to me and wanted the pads back on. So that's a sign that you've kind of got your team right where you want them. You know, but it was a process throughout the entire year.
At cornerback, a lot of depth. Obviously.
At corner?
Yeah, at corner, a lot of depth. Who do you see replacing Patrick as a slot?
I mean, that's an area that we'll have to address this spring. You know, we've got some guys that, whether it's Jalen Mills moving in there, whether it's, you know, Worley moving in there, whoever that might be, we got some young guys. You know, Bosby's on the outside, DJ Killings, a couple of young players there that can possibly move and work inside. So, you know, it'll be a little bit of a opportunity, you know, for those guys to try to grab that spot and solidify that fifth DB spot.
Is Jalen at the point where he can move inside and outside? You know,
I think he's comfortable enough. Yeah, he understands. Plus, I think, you know, he's a versatile guy. If you ever need him to play a safety spot, I mean, he can go back. He's that type of athlete. You know, he's positioned, you know, he's not just one guy in one position. I think he's versatile enough to now that we can be able to move him around a little bit. You know, for a guy that was drafted where he was, you know, late, he's been a real, real big bright spot for us, you know, these first 2 years.
Doug, Blunt's moved on, you know, they want to have him back, and Sproles doesn't look like he'll be back either.
Who was the first guy you mentioned?
Blunt,
got it.
So, do you feel comfortable with, like, Wendell or Pinnell as kind of like that third guy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's another area we'll look at. You know, obviously the top two with Jay and Corey, and really, I like Wendell. I think it was just a situation where, you know, we brought in Jay and you know, Wendell was the guy that we had to put down each week. But, you know, I'm encouraged by Wendell. I think he's got value to our football team. He brings special teams value. So, you know, I'm not concerned there. But again, another good draft coming up. We'll see what happens, see where it falls out, and try to add some depth and competition there, too.
Jeff just mentioned Sproles. Have you shut the door on that, or is the team talking to him?
No, I mean, you know, again, it's, you know, he's a free agent, and it's hard to have a conversation with him in the offseason like this, but, you know.
Has the team talked to him? I mean, Howie?
Yeah, we've reached out to him, you know, during the free agency period and talked to him. And listen, I'm guys like that, you know, he's expressed he wants to be back here. He knows we want him back here. You know, yeah, heck yeah. You know, he's a big part of our team, you know, punt returner. You know, he was a tremendous back, third down guy. Yeah, so we'll see where it falls out.
Do you think that's going to happen? I mean, if he wants to be back and you guys want him back.
I mean, would you not want him back?
Yeah, I mean, but if he wants to still play.
He wants to still play, you know, and I want him to play. And I want him to be an Eagle, you know. It's just, he's a veteran player. Let him spend time with his family. You know, he's one of those guys, I mean, you've seen what he's done in the last couple off seasons. He hasn't been here, you know. He spent time with the family. He comes in from time to time, you know. And I'm not concerned about the Darren Sproles, you know, going forward. I just know the way he works, the way he trains, the way he gets himself prepared, and you know, if and when he decides to sign and come back, come on, if we're ready for him.
Would Brent Celek be a consideration in that regard too? I mean, obviously you just released him, but if he, you know, didn't find another team, you can bring him back at a, you know, much lower salary.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in that position, I think that's a player that gosh, you would, again, yeah, you consider, you know, bring him back, especially if you know, you weren't able to fit all the pieces together at that spot. So, yeah, he's definitely still in the conversation.
Do you see Sidney Jones as kind of being a guy coming in, you know, starting on the outside?
Yeah, again, he's another one that's going to – this will be a big offseason for him. You know, creates competition, creates depth. You know, whether he ends up being a starter or not is up to him and how he performs. But, you know, right now it's just a matter of him competing and you know, showing us what he can do.
You won. I mean, you're aggressive last season on fourth down. It's easy to do that when you're converting. You won the Super Bowl pretty much as a result of it. But when it's not going well, like when you're not converting those, how easy or difficult is it to kind of tune out the outside noise and continue to be aggressive even when you're not converting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's each week is a little different mindset for me. You know, I look at a bunch of numbers, some analytics, and want to find out, you know, how well, one, we're performing on fourth down, but how well the defense is performing, you know, on fourth down. If it's a stout defense, maybe you don't go for it as much. But listen, if you're struggling in that area, you know, I'm not gonna force the issue. You know, I'm gonna make sure that still the decisions are gonna be smart decisions, gonna be best for the football team, and they're still gonna be the best ones that help us win the game. So, you know, as we've talked before, a lot of it's feel, you know, game situation, clock, field position, all that. But again, I'm not going to force any kind of
Doug, how much do you work on the offense actually at this point? I mean, with Bro, because you got a new OC that you have to work with and a new quarterback's coach.
That's all we do in the mornings. We spend all our time on the offense right now. We're still working through our scheme. You know, I got two new offensive coaches in Gunnar Brewer and Carson Walsh, and you know, getting Press Taylor, you know, comfortable in his new role, and Mike in his new role. So, yeah, we're cranking through the offense still.
Can you tell us why you hired Gunnar?
Well, I interviewed several people, and just felt real comfortable with Gunnar. You know, he coached Mac at North Carolina. He right away spoke our language, how we teach, how we detail things. He's a fundamentalist. He's a teacher, which is big for me. And you know, he loves the game. He loves the grind. So it was a great fit.
How big a role did Mac play in your decision to hire him?
He did.
What made Press ready for this job?
I just think he's been one of those coaches that I've had my eye on now the last couple of years, and of course he's been here for 5 years and been a former quarterback. He's been around the receiver room. He's been around the quarterback room. He's smart. What he does for us, what he did for us the last 2 years, you know, offensively from a sort of a behind the scenes. We call it a DNA report, which is the DNA of our opponent, and he puts that together, and it's well thought out. It's there's some analytics on there, some numbers on there. Smart guy, real smart guy. Got some great ideas, and just he's ready. You know, he's ready to take that spot. And the quarterbacks, you know, he worked well with them the first year. You know, with DeFilippo. And so I'm very comfortable, you know, with him leading that room.
Doug, what is Carson doing in his rehab that makes him ahead of schedule?
Well, he's in there every day, you know, and he's in the weight room. He's getting his rehab in. You know, the things that I see when I'm there, or the things I hear. You know, he's been able to get in the pool, you know, and do some walking and just continuing on his path, you know, and like I said, it's encouraging right now. We're really with all the guys. I mean, Jason Peters and Jordan Hicks are in there, and Chris Maragos is in there, and you know, Carson's right in there with them, and you know, they're all doing really well, and it's fun because it's, you know, they're pushing each other a little bit. You know, it's a little bit of a competition with them and see who can do what today type thing. So I'm encouraged by that.
Doug, you obviously being around the coaches, you talk to them. Do you think you've changed any of their thinking on the aggressiveness on fourth down? Have they said anything to you?
You know, they haven't really mentioned that.
I heard otherwise.
I heard
one coach came to you at a bar.
Yeah, but it wasn't about fourth downs. I mean, it was other things, but and it was a restaurant, it wasn't a bar. What I do hear, you know, and listen, it happens every year. You know, whoever wins the big game, they're going to look at what made you successful. We do that, you know. We do that with New England. We do that with Atlanta. We do that with Green Bay. We do that with the teams that make it there. So I know teams are studying our offense to try to figure out some of the things we were doing, you know, whether it was RPO or play action pass and all that. And they're trying to figure that kind of stuff out. But, you know, the only two guys that I know right now that want to maintain the aggressiveness are Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. Are the only two guys.
What about the way you guys use analytics though? Has that been something that you spoke to other coaches?
No, I mean it gets brought up a lot in these meetings. You know, this week how teams kind of use it, and I think every team is a little different. The coaches that do speak up are the ones I talk to. You know, it's based on what information do they want. You know. There's a lot of data and a lot of information out there, and it's you have to kind of swim through it to get what you want, you know, and that's different for every team, different for every coach.
What about also the fact that you have the analytics guys in your head though during the course of the game?
That that's a little bit different. That's a little different. I think that is a little surprising to some of the guys. But that's again that's the way I set ours up, and you know again everybody's different. But there might be a coach or two that might try something like that.
Was that your idea initially to have the analytics in your ear, or did Jeffrey mention something that hey let's try this or have that get started?
No, you know those are things that I wanted. I wanted you know to take as much. I didn't want anybody to guess. You know, I don't prefer guessing on anything. I want things to be kind of concrete. Now I've got to make the final decision, obviously, but I just want the information. They're not making the decision for me. I want the information, and then I make the decision. So it's good to have that.
I know training camp is some kind of way, but we'll be planning now. As far as Carson, how are you going to work him back in when he is ready to play? Because you obviously need to prepare him
right. When we get to that point, you know, with Carson, where we can cut him loose, it'll be a slow process. You know, we'll make sure he's one. There's going to be probably a period of him just getting back into quarterback shape. Let's say moving around in the pocket. You know, guys kind of falling around his legs, things of that nature. Just getting that comfort back. But 7-on-7s, individual work, are things that I'm kind of processing through right now, and then slowly building, you know, through if he's available for games or whatever, you know, just kind of build that slowly. I don't necessarily need him in preseason. You know, I need him ready for week one.
And does he need preseason?
I think he can get the work done in practice. Quite honestly, he did it his first year, you know, and so you know we'll see where it's at when we get there. It's hard to speculate on that, but I just know Carson and how well he's going to work and prepare and put himself in a position to be. So he doesn't want to go out there and not be ready.
Going back to your.
So when you say that he's ahead of schedule and everything, like, is that according to...
I'm encouraged by his progress.
But I think the word you used was ahead of schedule. Right?
When did I use that?
But, like, is that, like,
over the weekend with NFL Network.
Oh, also, okay. Secondhand. You're hearing it secondhand. I got it.
So is that, like, a schedule to return in X amount of months? I mean, or is that just benchmarks along
It's just benchmarks. It's just benchmarks of him sort of checking the boxes along the rehab process, basically.
Yeah. But like the boxes, are they, like, you know what I'm saying, like, are they for a certain time schedule? Like,
we don't put a timetable on it. That's the thing. With injuries like this, not putting a timetable. It's like Sydney's deal. We weren't putting a timetable on that either. You know, we'll put him out there when he's ready.
When Carson goes back to. You know, having somebody in your ear during game time decisions. Ryan was already with the team when you were hired. So what went into the decision to make him that guy, and what did you see in him?
You know, my first year, he did a lot of sort of behind-the-scenes reports for me, different off-season projects, some studies that I had him do in certain situations, and we just kind of built that rapport leading up into the regular season, and then we just kind of grew that relationship over last off season, and I got more specific in some of the areas of football, the 2-point conversions, the fourth downs, you know, even you know, field position on field goals and timeouts and all that kind of stuff. We just kind of began to put all that together a year ago, leading up into the season. And you know, even though he kind of helps the defensive side a little bit, I still wanted him to maintain that role in the box for me.
So that kind of like progress naturally, even like interview.
No, it was just a natural progression. And I sort of gravitated right to him, and And some of the things that he was presenting, you know, I was intrigued by, and it just naturally worked out that way.
Doug, did you do any legwork on whether Bennett would fit into the locker room before you guys traded for him? You personally?
I mean, you're going to try to do your due diligence a little bit, you know, on guys. I mean, that's all part of the process. You know, I wasn't initially involved in a lot of the conversation early on, you know. But, you know, I had a chance to talk to him and sit down with him and visit when he came in the building. But, you know, initially not a ton of legwork early.
Or do you just say, you know what? I'll make it work. I have a good locker room. I understand that I can take on anything. I'm not saying Bennett's a problem guy, but he comes from a different environment, a different culture. Do you feel like you can just take on anybody and it'll work?
Well, we did Jay. Yeah, we did LeGarrette. Yeah. Took them on, and they were fine. So, listen, anytime you're going after a veteran free agent that comes from a different environment, there's going to be something. He's not a rookie. He's a veteran player. He can speak his mind, you know. That's going to be part of it, you know. But I think, and I do believe that your culture that you've established and the guys that you currently have in your locker room, you know, a great example would be guys like LeGarrette. And we all heard the stories with him before we got him, and Jay Ajayi before we got him, and you know, now both those guys are—they're tremendous guys. They're great team players, locker room guys, great leaders on the team, and helped us win a championship.
So, going back to kind of your methods, last year the offseason you had the competition game blocking. A, you want to bring that back again, and then what do you think that? What kind of role did that play in building chemistry? You look back on.
I do want to continue the competition. You know, in the locker room, whether it be the weight room or on the field. Yeah, when we can get on the field in phase two, keep that competition alive. You know, I just think it builds a little team chemistry. We talked about that earlier, you know, and putting all that together, that's kind of where it starts. You know, you're kind of feeling out your team again one more time, and you find out who your leaders are again, and it just sort of starts galvanizing your team at that time.
When you start up with OTAs, really short off seasons from the veterans, do you expect people to kind of work in the back, take a little time off this year?
It's a fine line. You know, when we left back in February, I encouraged everybody that, you know, that was going to be a concern. You know, and that's when I talk about the other side of success, that's what I talk about. Guys not showing up for OTAs, guys not showing up for your off-season program, thinking they've arrived. And I don't think we have that kind of group. It is hard when you can't communicate with them, you know, in the off-season.
But just physically, it's going to be tough for a lot.
Well, and I can be smart on who practices and who does, you know, who doesn't. So I think that's part of me understanding the team and the roster. And again, nobody makes the team in the spring, right? It's kind of turning into a really good developmental program. You know, my mindset is we've got some young guys on this roster that we got to continue to improve and get them caught up, and this will be a good opportunity for those guys.
As you started reinstalling the offense, you guys say every morning you're spending how many hours you spend on it?
We start 8:30 in the morning, run till about noon. 12:30, you know, about 4 hours a day. There are times where we double dip and come back in the afternoon. But right now, too, we got coaches on the road. So,
do you factor in okay, this is the Carson we're going to get back. This is how we should start styling.
We don't
because he's going to be limited physically.
Yeah, but I don't look at it from a personnel standpoint as much as I do a scheme standpoint. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay.
How do we make the offense better? That's what we look at it as. It's not about now's not the time to, you know, create packages and,
right,
you know, who's going to be where. Now's the time to go back and just make subtle changes in your offense or remove stuff that you only ran once, or, you know, how do we make this play a little bit better from a route standpoint, that's what this time of the year is for.
When do you have the conversation with Carson about how he's going to play when he comes back? And do you at all, actually?
I haven't. No, I haven't.
We'll
cross that bridge at some point. You know, maybe one of those conversations he and I will have. Probably later in the spring as we get closer to camp.
But you will say.
I'm gonna sit down and talk to him and you know just you know, longevity is everything in this business. You know, I mean, learn from the best. Learn from Tom Brady. You know, who got hurt early in his career, and learn from guys that have done that. You know, and yet still went on to have great careers and long careers. And you know, longevity is everything in this business. You know, and that's something that we all have to. I mean, even coaches have to understand with our own health, you know, is making sure that we're taking care of ourselves.
How difficult do you think it's going to be for him to kind of have to learn how to play without maybe that mobility coming back?
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. It's hard to answer that. You know, I think maybe initially, but look. I mean, we'll see. It's just, you know, we're speculating on something that's still months away, and you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I know all the defensive guys.
The Andy Reid coaching area keeps getting bigger and more successful. What does that mean? Do you think Andy Reid
will come in? What was the last part?
What does it mean to be in that coaching kit? Do you think maybe Andy doesn't get enough?
You know, I don't think he gets enough credit, obviously. You know, goes all the way back to 1999 with, you know, the guys now and a lot of these guys in this room, you know, that coached under him, for him, you know, and then, you know, myself, Matt Nagy, you know, currently Sean McDermott, you know, guys like that that have been hired in the last couple of years that is also part of that. So, you know, he definitely is. He knows how to pick them, I guess, you know. But the one thing he does a great job of, and what I'm appreciative of, is how well he coaches us as coaches, you know. And that's part of my philosophy is how now taking a guy like Press Taylor and coaching him, you know, and getting him prepared, or you know, a Mike Rowe, getting him prepared, you know, and just keep coaching your guys to one day maybe be in this same position.
I know all the defensive ends play, but are you looking at Derek Barnett as that starter on Vinny's side, or do you want Mike Bennett to take that role? Are you looking at that?
Yeah, you know, I think going into it, you think about it, you got BG, Michael Bennett, Derek, and Chris. Those are four DNs. Any of them can go out there and try it out there. And the one thing about Michael, what I like is now you get in a position where he can move down inside, play a three technique, or, you know, play a shade, and he can play that tackle position, you know, and on third down or something like that. So, again, this is springtime is really not the time to who's going to be one, two, or three. Everybody's kind of out there working, and we get later into camp is when we'll start putting our packages together on defense and offense and trying to figure all that out. You know, Derek's a young player. He's a talented guy. Got a bright future. Michael obviously is a proven DN, D tackle, and makes us better.
BG said that he wants a new contract. He doesn't have one yet. Do you think you'll see him in the spring?
I hope so. I mean, I hope to see him.
I know you don't interject yourself much into that end of it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
do you want him to get his contract?
Well, I mean, I think any player, you know, of his caliber. Yeah, I'm excited for players to get what they can, you know. But you know, those are all questions that I kind of push to the Howie department.
Yeah, but when he doesn't show up for this, I'm not saying he's not showing up for the spring, but let's say he does show up for the spring, then you go across the hall and say, hey, I want to get my player here. I need him.
Well, we all know we want him. You know, I mean, that's a given. I mean, we'll do everything we can, but, you know, yeah, that's one of those down-the-hall questions.
Doug, what are some of the things that you know now, with even more conviction, that you believe in now, that you might not have in the first year head coach, and now even a Super Bowl winning coach?
for me, I think the biggest thing that I took away from last year, and it's big, is a trust factor with my players. Them trusting me, putting them in good positions during games, kind of goes back to your fourth down question, and then me trusting them with play design, play call, offensively, defensively, you know, trusting those guys. If I do elect to go for it on fourth down, I'm going to trust my defense if we don't make it. I think that was the biggest reality for me, that you got to believe in your guys, you know, in order to get that done. And I think that was the biggest takeaway for me.
Is it a difference at these meetings this year as a Super Bowl winning coach entering last year as a coach? Do you feel it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, you're viewed differently. Everybody is very complimentary, appreciative. I think there were a lot of people pulling for us, you know, to win. So yeah, you're looked at now, you're a Super Bowl champion. And you know, that's as crazy as that sounds, I mean it's still hard to fathom. You know, it's hard to kind of put it in perspective.
You mentioned other teams kind of studying your offense a little bit. Where do you look to study and see new wrinkles? Do you go to the college game, or are you looking at other NFL teams? What's your process for doing that?
We're always looking, as we study these college kids, you know, we're always looking at the college world a little bit. So we'll pull some stuff from there. And then we just break it down by situation. Who's the best third down offense? You know, who's the best red zone offense? You know, who's the best short yardage goal line offense? So we just kind of pick a couple and kind of study them and see if there's anything unusual that they did, or, you know, maybe a formation or a personnel group, something that might benefit us, and see if we can somehow incorporate it into our system.
Without getting specifics of the players on your roster, what are some traits you like from nickel corner as opposed to outside? Like, what do you think makes a guy be able to go inside and play that position?
One, you got to have your change of direction, your short area quickness. You don't necessarily have to have the long speed in there. You got to be tough as nails, you know. You got to be able to stick your nose in there and make a tackle. You're basically a smaller linebacker, you know, that can run, a little more athleticism. I think that's something that Patrick Robinson, as the year went, got better and better and better at, you know, making plays around the box, tackling, and still being able to defend, you know, those short, quicker, twitchier receivers that we have in our division. You know, he was able to do that, and those are things we look for, you know, and having that, and you got to be smart. I mean, you got to be a thinker on your feet. You got to be able to process information, because you're constantly, corners are different because they're kind of on the island. You know, they're out there. You know, it's either man or zone for them. I mean, it's a different deal. But inside, you're communicating with linebackers. You communicate with DNs. You're communicating with safeties. So you got to have a little bit of that, as Jim calls it, that high speed internet. You know, to be able to process and be on your feet.
If you could speak your offense, will you leave Philly in the offense? And do you think you'll ever call that again in your career?
No, there's no way you call that again. It's out there. I mean, anytime your quarterback does that, it's over. Now, not saying you couldn't do that and run something else. You know, you could do something else off it, but for the most part, I mean, that, you're probably not going to see it this year.
Game one, he calls it. Game one, he calls it.
So is it fair to say then that on the record that Philly's dead? Retired, rather?
I would say it's more on the back burner. Maybe retired. But he hasn't put in his papers yet.
Brett Favre retired.
And then come back and then retire again. There you go. Yeah, that makes more sense.
If people view you differently this year and they're complimentary, what were they last year?
Not very complimentary. Well, you know, it's hard. I mean, you were, you know, fourth in the division, obviously. You know, to first in the division, and you know, it's Because last year we were looking at the Cowboys. I mean, they were first in our division last year, going to the postseason, and it is what it is. It comes with the territory. I mean, who knows? Hopefully, it's us again this year. You know, maybe not, but we'll see. But there's a lot of respect in this room for everybody. Everybody understands the hard work that it takes to win a game in this league, let alone 13. So,
when you look back at the regular season, were there any games that you kind of felt prepared your team like for the playoffs? That seemed like they were kind of like character wins, like regular season wins or losses or whatever.
You know, I think there was a stretch in there. You know, we played like Arizona, we played San Fran, I can't remember the order, but we had Arizona,
yeah.
Chicago, San Fran, Denver. You know, there was a stretch in there where
we smoked those teams.
Teams, we beat them pretty good. And you kept hearing the comment like, oh, it's too easy. What do you mean it's too easy? I mean, nothing's ever easy, you know? But really, that stretch of games, and, you know, we had Denver, I think we had our bye, I think. And you scored 51 points at that point. I mean, you feel like at that point, you're rolling, you know? You're rolling, and you really want to keep it rolling, you know? And then, of course, that stretch of three road games late in the year, that was a big test for us. You know, the Seattle, the Rams, and the Giants, that was a big, big test for our football team. But I think those early games prepared us for those down the stretch games, and we really started to peak. We really started to peak at the right time to play our best football down the stretch, which I'm okay if we, you know, you see teams start slow and you build towards the end of the year. That's okay as long as you're there at the end of the year. You know, that's the biggest thing.
Doug, you had mentioned how good of a teammate Carson was when he went down, how good he was to Nick. He's also human. So, is there a moment maybe that sticks out to you where he was really going through it that you shared with him and maybe helped him?
With Nick?
No, with Carson after he went down.
You know, there really wasn't, and the only reason I say that, and that's not to talk bad or anything like that. It's just you just don't have time. You know, you don't have time because everything now went focused on Nick. Now let's get Nick ready to go. You know, so I really didn't have that one-on-one with Carson. You know, because one, he was now starting his rehab. He was in the quarterback room, and then he would go. You know, and. So we really just didn't get that opportunity.
Are you going with Cameron Johnson as your punter, or do you think he'll bring in like a legitimate competition?
I think there's a chance we bring in another guy. You know, competition's good at that spot too. You know, so yeah, there's a chance.
But when you were talking about that stretch, you know, when you went out to Seattle and LA, are you a big believer in that one thing has to happen? The dominoes really started falling after that LA game. In that LA game, you lose Carson. Win the game anyway, and you keep clinching one.
Yeah.
You know, could things have maybe unfolded differently if you don't win that game?
It could have. You know, it could have. You know, the Rams game, but more so the Giants game. You know, I mean, we were in a shootout in the Giants game. You know, Nick, four touchdown passes, and I mean, Eli was up and down the field. I mean, it was a little bit of a battle. You know, but we figured out how to win, you know. But I looked more at that Giants game than if we don't win that one, because we were still fighting for a lot of things, you know. Home field advantage, you know, get the bye, the whole deal. So that game to me was probably more so than the Rams game. Could have turned things differently maybe towards the end of the season.
Is there a player on the roster that you think can be like this year's Nelson Aguilar and that kind of takes the next step? Either side of the ball.
Well, I think I think Sidney Jones has a chance, you know, see how his development this spring. I think Mac Hollins has a chance to see where he goes this spring. We know what Derek's going to be. I look at even some of the young receivers. I think Greg Ward, Rashard Davis, Bryce Treggs, Shelton Gibson. I look at all that whole group right there. One of those guys, I know they'll emerge, you know, and do something special.
Doug, with the hours you guys put in, what is your advice to coaches in terms of trying to maintain some kind of family life, you know, sleeping or not sleeping in the office, attending their kids' events? What do you tell them in that respect, especially during the season?
Well, during the off season now, you know, they're out of the office this week because of the meetings and everything that's going on. And listen, we only get one opportunity to do what we do, but we're not going to, you know, I'm a big believer, we're not going to sacrifice our families for anything, you know. Family comes first, and I want to make sure that they're a part of that. And spring break for kids is an important time. Families travel, you know, and do things as a family, and I think it's important. You know, we know in season, and there's not much time. I also want them to bring their families around, you know, practice, training camp. You know, if they've got older boys, bring them. If they've got older daughters, bring them. Get them involved, you know. Get them out there. Hang out with Dad for a day, you know. My boys do it. You know, you see my boys on the sidelines during games, and I just think it's too important.
Doug, I know he's not with the team anymore, but Vinny Curry, what did you like about him and for your defensive line? What was his attributes that you liked about him?
Well, one, he's kind of a speed to power guy. He did an outstanding job for us this year, just being able to rush the passer. You know, we drafted him several years ago, and just every year he got better and better and better and made a big impact on our D-line last year. You know, we rotate so many guys that you know, he really assumed his role, and whether it was on third down, he could move inside, you know, and play a tackle position if we needed to, play outside. And just his knack for the ball, you know, that really made him a real good player for us last year.
Doug, what made you guys kind of willing to part ways with Torrey Smith? I know there was even some speculation that he might have been cut had he stayed.
Yeah, you know, it listen, there's tough decisions to be made all over your roster, and he was one of them. And, you know, what he did for us, I'll thank him every single day for helping us win a championship last year. And a great teammate, great leader in the room, leader in the locker room, in the community. And it's hard to part ways with guys like that, you know, but sometimes you do. Sometimes there's, you know, you got to add value somewhere. And so, you know, you make tough decisions that way. And, you know, we were fortunate to have him for a year, but we made the move and got a defensive back that we needed some help there. And obviously wish him the best.
Does Torrey still have what you would consider top end speed?
Yes.
I know he's doing kind of a little bit more horizontal stuff with you guys.
Yeah.
And that may have been scheme related.
Some of it's scheme related, but I do believe he can still run. He can stretch the field for us. He did it in the postseason. He did it really a couple times throughout the year, so I do believe he can still do that.
Another guy you guys parted with was LeGarrette Blount. How big was he for you?
Oh, he was huge for us. Yeah, huge. You know, he's a Super Bowl winner where he's been, and he came in and he really gelled with the room, the running back room. You know, he was in our offseason program right away and really wanted to sort of solidify that. We wanted that bigger back at the time and got him in there and did some outstanding things for him. Again, he was another one that was able to kind of lead a younger group of guys, you know, running backs that helped us win that championship. Yeah.
What does he have left? What sort of players?
I think they're getting a big physical guy. You know, they're getting a guy that still has quite a bit left in the tank. You know, and you know, it was just the way our situation is right now is just a little bit harder. You know, to keep that many guys. Because we got some young players that we like, but yeah, they're getting a dynamic back, a good guy.
So changing gears, what are the Redskins going
to do? Oh my gosh, we don't have time.
I got time. I need to know where I'm getting here.
I got 6 minutes. Number one, they're getting a great person. They're getting a great human being. They're getting a guy that doesn't get enough credit for what he's accomplished in his career. They're getting a great leader. They're getting a great teacher. They're getting a guy he's going to give them 110% of Alex Smith. And that's going above and beyond. He's smart. He's going to make tremendous decisions for that team. He doesn't turn the ball over. And you just look at his body of work and what he's done. You know, he helped San Francisco, you know, get to the Super Bowl. He helped Kansas City get to the postseason. You know, his track record speaks for itself.
So why doesn't he get the pressure?
I think they've always, you know, the media, the outside, you know, people that talk, they've labeled him as a game manager. You know, what does that mean? I mean, he makes great decisions. He doesn't turn the ball over. If that's managing the game, then I'll take it every day.
What did you see in the meeting rooms?
I saw him lead by example. I saw him study and come into the building on Mondays and Tuesdays on his days off, prepare for the next week. He wanted to be coached. He wants to learn, even at his age. You know, what is he, 10, 11 years? 11 years in? 12 years in?
Yeah.
So he's a guy that wants to learn. He's constantly learning the game, and they're getting, in my opinion, a great quarterback.
Even at his age?
Oh, heck yeah. He's better now. It's like fine wine. You get better with age.
Doug, in the Super Bowl, you guys hit on that mesh and the wheel, I think, five or six different times. Why was that so effective? And is that a comfort play for Nick going back to his days with Chip and his first time with the Eagles?
We had, nine of those plays in the game plan in the Super Bowl. Nine different formations, same play, like nine different ways. I think we ended up calling it like four times or five times in the game, but that was actually a play that Sam Bradford brought to us that he ran with Chip Kelly's offense. So that's where the play came from. We ran a version of it, but I like this version better. And Sam brought it to my attention, and we put it in our first year. They probably didn't call it as much. Our quarterbacks really like the play, and you know, it's not a play that's in every week because of the structure of the defense, but we just so happened to have several of them in, you know, in the Super Bowl.
What was different about this version? Was it the wheel route?
The wheel part of it's the primary, you know, but then the mesh part of it becomes the secondary read for the quarterback, so he can really go anywhere with the ball.
Doug, have you watched the Super Bowl?
I have. A couple times. Yes, the whole game.
What was the experience like?
I was nervous. It's one of those deals where even though you know the outcome, you know, you're still like, you get those tense moments, you know, like you're right back in the game. And it's fun to go back and watch and listen to the commentary and, you know, kind of as a fan listening to it. And it's to see yourself on TV like that in that game is first of all, it's weird, but it's special. It's very special.
What's the coolest congratulations you've gotten from anyone?
You know, I'd have to say the the Morristown day. You know, because you get a lot of congratulations, text messages, phone calls, all that. Those are all pretty normal. But just that deal in Morristown, put that together, and the proclamation, the Doug Peterson Day, February 24th, which you're all invited to. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool, you know, to have that. And even my hometown in Ferndale, Washington, They did the same thing, you know. They sent a nice little proclamation, and those are pretty cool. Those are special.
What's going to happen on Doug Peterson Day going forward?
I don't know yet. I've never had a day, you know. Never had like a day named after you or whatever. So I don't know. I'm taking suggestions. It depends. I might be just yeah.
What a Super Bowl while having a team of guys who are extremely socially conscious, active in the community. Did that create any additional work for you as a head coach, or did those guys basically just keep their professionalism on the field as a matter of yourself in the community?
You know, they were able to keep the two separate. You know, I encouraged our team to get involved where and when they can. And we had some great, you know, activists, and Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long, Torrey Smith, you know, and we had some other guys that kind of got involved in their causes. But I think that's something that our players have really embraced. And they've kind of taken it to the next level, and they're actively pursuing, you know, their causes, and I'm a big supporter of that. And as long as it doesn't interfere, you know, with their job on the field, you know, you gotta separate the two, obviously. And they do a great job with that. And you know, that's something that I'll continue to encourage. I mean, you know, the thing is with both of them, they're getting two great human beings. Number one, it starts with that. You know, Vinny's a tremendous defensive end. I was on Andy Reid's staff when we drafted him. Speed to power guy, you know, knows he can play inside, he can play outside. He's got position versatility there with him. You know, Bo's a big physical guy that can push the pocket. He's a great run stopper. And he's going to add, both of those guys are going to add some great depth and competition to that D-line room. I'm excited to kind of continue to watch their careers.
And Vinny, I know last one, you guys usually use him first and second down, but I mean, is he a guy that you, on another team, again, maybe it's the product of what a great rotation you guys had, is he a guy that can play all three downs?
Yes, he can. And it's just the way Jim runs his D-line, you know, the way we do it. We rotate a lot of guys, you know. I think we had three guys that got 65% of the total snaps the entire year, where some teams get, you know, 75, 80, 85% of the snaps. So, you know, even a Brandon Graham, as good as he is, Fletcher Cox, you're only getting 65% of the plays. So, but I do believe Vinny can play all three downs.
Yeah. I do. Doug Peterson, oh, Philadelphia Eagles.
We're done.
Yeah. Why should a mom in Dubuque, Iowa, allow her son to play football?
I think number one, it starts with the education process that over the last 5, 6, 7 years with football, the coaching is getting better, the equipment is getting better. What they're seeing from our level as far as removing, I know the concerns of the concussions and injuries and all that, and I get that and understand it, because I got boys of my own. But what we're doing at this level to remove the head from our game, and to go back to proper tackling, proper fundamentals, I think speaks volumes to every generation, and especially the moms out there that have questions, you know, about the physicality of our sport. I'm a big believer too that you can get injured in anything you do. Playing soccer, playing lacrosse, playing ice hockey, whatever it is. But our sport, number one, is it's the greatest sport on earth. And there's some great life lessons to be learned through football, and it's becoming a much safer sport than what people think.
Thank you.
All right, thanks everybody.